You know, it's wild. Last night, I was, my wife and I, we were laying in bed, and she said, you know, why don't you pray? And so I began praying. The next thing I know, amen, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. I was gone. And she was still holding my hand while we were like, okay, you know. She looked at me and she said, are you asleep? And I woke up, of course. And I said, yes, I'm going places. And the Spirit of the Lord was taking me places. And I would go back to sleep and phew, I was gone again. And one of the things he was sharing with me was predestined personality. Now, we talk about the image of Christ, but there's deeper arenas. And there's going to be things that I can't put on, express in words. And only the Spirit can reveal to you what He's trying to impart of who we are. And the things that affect our predestined personality. And I'm going to give you some definitions of what was given, okay? Predestined, of course, predestined is a representation of a word that means decreed. Beforehand. It's been ordained by God or approved. Amen. Predestined is something that's been decreed beforehand, ordained by God, and approved. Oh, hallelujah. That means Daddy's already got it planned for me and you, man. You know? I mean, you know. And the word personality is a representation of a person or a person's individual markings. That's personality. A person's individual markings expressing a person's character. So a personality is actually your character. You know, how many times have you always wondered who I am? Who am I? You know, when you and I were in the world, we were like, who am I? Where am I going? And where'd I come from? But there are times when you get into the point again, it's like, all right, who am I? You know, one of the things the devil always wants to do is disqualify who you are. Amen? So we see this personality is a representation of a person's individual markings. There are specific markings that are in me and you. Expressing a person's character involving habitual patterns, right? Quality of behavior. And these things are expressed by physical, mental, and attitude activities. Obviously, I need to repeat this, right? Okay, personality. Person's individual markings. Expressing a person's character. It involves habitual patterns. Quality of behavior. Which are expressed by physical, mental, and attitude activities. In conclusion, the character of a spirit of a person is their personality. Amen. Now we know that we've talked about this before, that the character of your spirit is your heart, because it's expressing your spirit, right? We've talked about this before. But you and I have a predestined personality. It's already predestined for me and you. There are things that want to disqualify us from that personality or walking in that personality. So many things that the Spirit began to impart in me, I couldn't write it all down. And Holy Spirit, you do it. Give it to us the way you, and express it and interpret to each and every one. Now, we know that everyone has a specific personality, don't they? But you know, when you come to Christ, you have one mind or one personality. What's expressed differently is sound. Okay. In the Word, it tells us, in the book of Revelations, that there was many sounds, like the water with many sounds was like many voices. You and I, every one of us is a note, is attuned towards God. He knows your voice. He knows your specific sound, doesn't he? So every one of us has the same, in other words, a characteristic or character of Christ in us, which is his personality, which is developed for a purpose for me and you, created for a purpose. Amen? But everyone expresses it in a different way. In other words, through a different voice. Not everyone in here, in fact, how they can separate us is in two areas. You know, of course, they have a DNA, right? No, is that it? DNA, yeah. And then they have your fingerprint, and they also have your voice print. And in these things would separate us from one another. But innerly, we have the same personality of Christ, the same character. But it's just expressed differently through each and every one. Does everybody understand that? Good. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Hey, y'all been called to according to His purpose. Amen. If you've been called according to His purpose, then there's a place or position that you and I need to be in where all of His purpose is manifesting. Amen. And verse 29. For whom He what? Foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The word image is a representation of character or personality. So you and I were predestined to walk in this personality. This personality was awaiting me and you. That's why you need to be born again, don't you? Because your old personality stunk. Amen? And verse 30. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also what?
Called.
Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now that's powerful. Now, I want to back up a little bit because it says, that in verse 29 it says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He what? Might. Underline that word might because that means choice. That means choice. The word might always represents choice. So you have a choice. Amen. Okay, now there's three things that are specific here. First of all, we know that His image represents His character, right? The word image means His character or His personality. We want to walk in the personality of Christ, don't we? Okay. He says that you and I were called, we are justified, and we are glorified. That is what represents predestined. You were called, you were justified, and you were glorified. That's the expression of predestined. Now, not everyone accepts the calling, do they? Many people run from it. So you are called, you are justified, and glorified, which is an expression of being predestined for the personality of God. Now that's phenomenal, you know what? You think about it. God expressed His personality in mankind. Did you ever notice that when you fellowship with someone, you know that's you know that there's a common thing between you?
Amen.
You know? And then there's some that you know just ain't common.
Amen.
It's like, you know, it just ain't, and they may even be a brother. And it's just like, man, there's just something not right, you know. There's just something, you know what's happening? Because like-minded is a representation of same personality, same character traits. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, sometimes we want to say, will the real me please stand up? You know? Sometimes it's, wait a minute. Will the real me please stand? Sometimes you feel like you have a dual personality. You do. You have the new personality and the old one that's supposed to be crucified. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 1 and chapter, verse 3. Read it with me. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Wow. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now that's powerful. That's a part of His personality, is to be holy, isn't it? And without blame. To be holy and without blame. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So, here's something powerful. Here is God Almighty willing to give us His personality. It is His good, it's His good pleasure that we have His personality. You know, we never really go that deep sometimes in representation of the personality of God. We always look at image and likeness and character, but never in that arena of personality, because in the natural realm we speak of personality as an individual person, a person's markings. This is His personality. But Christ wants His markings. That's why the Word says, and Paul was talking about, that the markings of the death of Christ. He was talking about carrying His personality in His body. Amen? Everybody all right? Is everybody here?
Amen.
Anybody here? Hallelujah. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. So we're to be holy and blameless in love, it says. In love. One of the greatest characteristics of God or of His personality is unconditional love. And He's expecting me and you to walk in it too. He doesn't want us to be boneheaded about it, does He? He doesn't want you to be trampled and used, but when you are, you must forgive. Amen?
Amen.
So this unconditional love is a part of His personality. And there are some people who are not willing to receive His love. So part of His personality also is to be holy. That's why He says, come out from among them and don't touch anything unclean, right? Be holy, for I am holy. When He said, be holy for I am holy, it's because, listen, you have my personality. Be holy because that's my personality in you. That's my spirit in you. That's my presence in you. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, according to our what? Likeness. What was He saying? Let's give them our personality. Let's make them an expression of who we are. Ooh. Let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In other words, a part of His personality is to have dominion over the natural. Not allowing the natural or circumstances to move you out of position. Amen? So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. So male and female are created equal, aren't they? Every male and female is created in the image and likeness of God with His personality. And it said, then God blessed them. How could you not be blessed with His personality? Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be what? Fruitful. And what? Multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So you and I have dominion and power over darkness. We're to be fruitful. And that just doesn't mean in prosperity. It means that your fruits, your character, your personality must be expressed in good fruits of who Christ is. That's what the world is looking for, aren't they? You know, the Word tells us about being a tree of righteousness. You know why people want to eat your fruit? They don't even understand it. But you and I must have good fruit so that they can have something to eat. Amen? Praise God. And Revelation 14. Did you hear somebody say your fruit stinks? Or somebody else's fruit stinks? Or you recognize that somebody else's fruit stinks? Revelation 14. If the fruit stinks, there's a different personality there, isn't there? In verse 9, would you read it with me? Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now that is powerful. What he's saying is if you're not willing to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, you're worshiping the other image or the other personality. The word worship means give service to. Has everybody got it? Here the word worship means give service to the other personality. You're either allowing the personality of Christ or the personality of Satan. And you and I were born with that personality of Satan. Has everybody got it? But now it's been changed because when you are born again, you get that other personality. Hallelujah. And of course, the mark is a representation on the hand and on the head, isn't it? The thoughts and the works. The thoughts and the works. What personality are you associating with today? Amen? Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Praise be to God. The mark on the head is the what? Thoughts. And the mark on the hand means works. 1 Pete chapter 2. Glory to God. Is everybody there in verse 21? "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." There it is, right? "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whom stripes you were healed." You see the word might again, right? That means choice, doesn't it? In verse 25, "For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now, one of the ways that the personality is expressed is through your conduct, through what you speak and other things. So what's happening right now is you've got to protect that personality in your soul. That's where your mind, your will, and emotions are, aren't they? You've got to protect. God's expressing his personality through your soul, isn't he? Amen? And then you know that the works of the flesh are an expression of the works of what? In other words, what you hear is what you speak, or what you hear is what you do. Amen? That's the same thing of the mark of the image of the beast, wasn't it? Where's the mark going? On the head and on the hands. Oh, hallelujah. So, Christ's example. Go to chapter 3 and verse 1. These are things that he's talking about as an expression of his personality. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, by the personality of Christ. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Now the word submission here means respect. Respect. God is not expecting a woman to be submissive to an abusive, beating husband. Hello? He's expecting her to get out of there. Amen? That's wisdom, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. Go to verse 7. And verse 7, would you read it with me? Husband, now you got to remember, God is male and female, isn't he? That character, the personality of Christ in me and you is male and female. Because there's a times when you can be a mom even if you're a man to somebody. And even if you're a woman, you can be a father to somebody. Amen? But it doesn't mean, I'm not going to go into the homosexuality and lesbian and stuff because those are demons. That's a whole different thing. God did not say Mary is supposed to be with Jane and Henry's with Peter. That's not right in the eyes of God. Hello. Okay. Anyways, this is why he called husbands and wives. He didn't say husband and husband. Amen. Okay, you two wives, come over here. That's why there's so much garbage going on in the world. You know, I mean, people are now approving, you know, what they're doing. And the Bible says in the latter days that what they're going to be saying is sin is not sin, or what is wicked is not wicked. What's evil is not evil. They're going to call evil good and good evil. That's why you're going to be known as evil now. They're going to do everything they can to consider you evil, man. They're going to call you self-righteous. Man, who do you think you are, man, telling me I can't do this? I have the personality of Christ. That's who I am. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And verse 7. Husbands, come on, read it with me. Likewise, dwell with them, their wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Let me tell you something. The Lord brought me to this scripture. You know, when my wife and I first got back together, you know, there were those times when, you know, I would be like, man, you know what? Lord, I just commit her to you. That's it. You know, whatever. I'm just going to go pray. And the Lord would say, you better go make amends, even if you're wrong. Because if you don't, your prayers will be hindered by me. I will not hear your prayers until you make it right. Because she is the weaker vessel. You're to be the example for her. So many households, the women are the example for the husbands. Amen?
Amen.
And the husbands are not fulfilling their headship or their priesthood. You know, there's got to be unity. Amen?
Amen.
And there's got to be a lot of dying. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Hey, marriage is a whole ministry in itself, man. To God be the glory. Finally, all of you be of what? One mind. In other words, same personality. But you're going to express it differently because you have a different sound, don't you? Having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Praise be to God. So these are some of the characteristics or the personality of Christ, right? Hallelujah. Remember, submit means to what? It's respect. So conduct is character, isn't it? Your conduct and how your conduct is a representation, an expressed image of your personality or your character. Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. In verse 8, now he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he says, in verse 8, but you shall receive what? power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what?
Witnesses
to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Let me explain something about the word witness. So many times we look at witnessing to someone. You know, yeah, I need to tell them about Jesus. I'm one of the Lord's witnesses. In fact, I get a lot of knocks on my door called Jehovah Witnesses. They think they're witnessing because they're going around telling people about whatever. The word witness here is an expression of God's personality, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring God's personality in you. And you shall receive power with God's personality. His personality is brought to me and you by the Holy Spirit. That's why he's known as the mind of Christ. That's why it's so important, a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's why he is a person. He's not a thing. He's not a force. And he's not just power. He is a person. He has feelings. He has a personality. He's the expression of Christ's personality for me and you. He'll guide me and you to all truth. In fact, it says that he'll give us all things, and Jesus gave him all things, and the Father gave Jesus all things. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to manifest God's personality through me and you. That is a representation of God's kingdom, isn't it? That's when Jesus came and he said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is upon you." What was it? God's personality. Jesus said that he was the witness, he was the true light, wasn't he? In fact, he said, "It's not my doctrine, but it's the doctrine of my Father." That's why he said, "When you see me, you see the Father." What was God doing with Jesus? He was manifesting his personality. I mean, Jesus' personality was the manifestation of the personality of God. That's why the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that Jesus was manifested in, is that same Spirit that's walking in me and you. The personality of God Almighty expressed. Now we got to cooperate, don't we? That's why he says, come out from among them. People think that just being a witness is going out and telling people about Jesus. No, it's the personality of God Almighty manifesting in me and you. That's a powerful thing for him to even share his personality with us. Oh, hallelujah. That really hit me today when that came. Whoa. The power and witness of his character or personality. Hallelujah. We all have a character of Christ in common in us, don't we? But it's expressed with your own sounding voice and person. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we see that the personality of Christ, or God Almighty, is manifested through His Spirit. That's why it's so important about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, isn't it? And to maintain that relationship with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17. Is everybody there? Everybody knows the scripture. Therefore what? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This new creation means new personality. If you're in Christ, word Christ means anointed one. In other words, if you're in the Spirit, that's why he says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. So if you're a son of God, that means God's personality is manifesting in you, his character. And your fruits are showing his presence. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what?
New.
Because you're a new personality. You're a new person. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to grab hold of that. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Glory to God. It was funny when my wife, when she was like, when she said, "You know, you just said amen and went to sleep." And when she kind of like woke me up, I said, I'm going places. That's the word that was out of my mouth. I'm going places. Like, see ya. You know? It was just wild. Only God. Okay, where are we going? 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8. It says, be what? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom? Oh, he's looking for anyone, man. He's no respecter of person. He wants to devour me and you. He wants to disqualify the personality of God in us. It says, resist him steadfast in the what?
Faith.
In the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the what?
World.
But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what?
Suffered.
The word suffered here is a representation of making the exchange, because we suffer by willfully accepting the change. There's a fight there, isn't it? There's a suffering there, isn't it? Because of our old conduct, our old ways, our old thoughts, our old desires. There's an exchange. You have to make that choice. That's the suffering you must go through. Every circumstance, everything that happens in your life, you're going to either allow the personality of Christ to have his way, or the old personality to have his way. When you allow the old personality to have his way, there's torment, guilt, condemnation, sin. When you allow the new personality of God Almighty to have his way, there's that suffering of allowing that exchange to manifest. You have that choice. And everything in your life, every decision that you make, you're going to allow either the personality of God Almighty to manifest or the personality of the devil to manifest. One or the other. Amen? And then we get beat up afterwards. How many times has somebody offended you and you said things you didn't want to? Ooh. And you thought it felt good for a minute. Then the torment afterwards was like, man, you know, the devil loves to tell you to be, you know, here. What does he do? Remember where the marks are. Remember the two marks. The mind and the works. Why? Because of what you hear and what you do. What you hear and what you do. Oh, to God be the glory. Suffering is the exchange of your old personality for the new. We don't want a fellowship with no more dual personality. You know, we don't want to manage personality. We don't want to manage addiction. We don't want to manage sickness. We want to be free. That's why Jesus told Peter, get ye behind me, Satan. Right? So God is creating a new personality in me and in you, isn't he? Okay, turn to James 4, please. Glory to God. Now we call the word submission or submit as a representation of respect. Amen? Respect. You know, what's his name? Rodney Dangerfield. That's how I used to say, no respect. No respect. I get no respect, you know. God's personality is a representation of respect. That's why let me share something with you. If you have a hard time respecting God's personality or respecting his presence, I mean, if Jesus walked in this room, we'd all be on our faces, wouldn't we? Hopefully, anyways. But the Bible says when two or more are gathered together, he's here. So we're to respect his presence, aren't we? That's why we welcome his presence, who's the Holy Spirit. We welcome him. The problem is that people lose sight of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and they don't respect his presence. That's where you can quench him. And believe me, David cried out, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit will back off from you if you grieve him and you quench him. That's why people get goofy because of something they don't understand they call evil. You know? If there's something they don't understand, they call it evil. If there's something that they don't understand or know what to do, instead of doing it, or instead of waiting, they go and do it. And it brings a problem because it's grieving the Holy Spirit. So we see here in verse 7, it says, therefore submit or respect to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you first must respect and submit God Almighty. You must submit to his ways. That's showing him respect, isn't it? He says, if you'll love me, you'll obey me. In other words, that's saying, you're obeying me because you respect me. Amen? It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That means dual personality. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. No, he never said not to judge. He said first pull out the national grand forest out of your own eye. Then pull the plank out of someone else's, right? Praise God. So submit means to allow to respect. Respect also is a representation of follow. If you respect someone, you follow them, don't you? Amen? That's why the Bible says, bad company corrupts good habits. That's why he says, come out from a brother who's not walking according to the doctrine. Right? Have no fellowship with darkness. If you fellowship with a brother who's walking in darkness, then you're contributing to it. That's why he says, rebuke, expose, convict, depart. Because you don't want to eat other delicacies, do you? Amen? You know, so many people begin to fellowship, go back to old places, people, places, and things. And that's the old standard of triggering things, isn't it? But that can trigger anything. It doesn't just have to trigger drugs and alcohol. It triggers sin. Unless God has sent you there. And he doesn't usually send you alone. So you want to submit, respect, and follow. And not have a dual personality, which is double-mindedness. We want the personality of Christ to be manifested in me and you. No compromising. No justifying. No reasoning. Doing. Go to Revelation 3. And in verse 14. Hallelujah. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, Laodiceans, write, these things says the what? Amen. The faithful and the what? True witness, hello, true personality of God. The beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Hello. Because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy. Now wealthy is just not financial wealthy. That's knowledge, wisdom. Man, I know it now. I'm okay. I don't need anything else. I can do it. Hallelujah. I'm out of here. Because you say you are wealthy and you have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He says, I counsel you. Underline, I counsel you. Or highlight it. I counsel you. In other words, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm commanding you to go here. I'm commanding you to go here. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone what? Hears my voice. Would you please highlight that? And what? Opens the door, In other words, the word opens the door means your will. If you are willing to hear me, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. That's relationship, isn't it? To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Now read this last verse with me. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has a what? Ear, let him hear. Hallelujah. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, let me share this with you again. He says, I counsel you. In other words, I'm commanding you to get counsel. I'm commanding you to hear. Two things that nullify the personality of God in me and you. Number one is not hearing. And number two is lack of faith. Because they go together. The word counsel is also a representation of receive instructions. That's why he says, come on, he who has an ear. If you read through the whole book of Revelation, after every letter it says, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Jesus warned us about being led by the dictates of our own heart. Amen. Jesus, one of the things that Jesus says, I don't do anything that displeases the Father. I see first or hear what he does or what he says. Amen? Would you turn to Psalm 1? Oh, hallelujah. That's why the Bible tells us that many people will heap up preachers that will correlate with what they want to hear. Amen? They won't be willing to receive sound doctrine because they want to hear what they want to hear. They want to go to the ones that always says, yes, you can sin and be saved. No problem. You can fornicate and be saved. God forgives you. You can be abusive. You can be a drug addict. You can be an alcoholic and so forth. And you can just be saved. Yeah. That person does not have a relationship with the Spirit of the living God. He has a relationship with knowledge, but he does not know the person. Because if he knew the person, he'd be able to interpret what the knowledge is telling him. Amen? That's why it's personality. Person. The third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. We have the personality of Christ because we are associating with the person of God Almighty. Not with just His knowledge. It's a total different walk. It's not religion, it's relationship. Oh man, I could go on for days about that part. The devil always wants to bind you to the letter. He wants to convince you that it's okay just to know the word. And not being able to hear. He tells you, just open the Bible. God will speak to you. He doesn't speak to you every time you open the Bible. It's called Russian roulette. It's called word roulette, voice roulette. And don't get me wrong, you can open the Bible and God can speak to you, can he? But first of all, the Holy Spirit says open the Bible. But you got to be careful if the devil tells you to open the Bible. Because it can lead you in the wrong direction. That's why you have a relationship with the person. He's a person. Your relationship is not with the letter, it's with the person. The letter comes alive when you have a relationship with the person. Amen? That's why the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. But yes, we must know the Word. Amen? We must know the Word because the Word is the tutor. But the Spirit is the mentor because He is the person. Oh, Jesus, help us. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the what?
God.
Then that means cursed is the man who does. Does everybody see that? Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, grumbler, complainer, This is what I want. Me, 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 I. I can't receive that. That's not of God. If they knew God, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They might have known Him, but they began to slide away from Him. It's not always how you begin your walk, it's how you end it. You got to remember something. People begin to worship the blessing of the Lord instead of the blesser. Then they think everything that's a blessing is from God. And it's not. Because the devil loves to just sit back and let everything flow. And you have to be careful. That's why you have to have a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. So that you know that's what's of God and what's not of God. For the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Amen? It's so important. That's why the first problem that believers fall into is stop hearing. They become doers, but not of what they hear. Doers of what they feel. Doers of what they think. They stop hearing. And they begin to follow the blessing. Okay, well, if this is working, it must be God. No, not every good deal is God's deal. I'm telling the Lord and share with me last night, my people don't hear. That's why they go astray. They begin to follow once I bless them and they think everything's of me and it's not of me. Even though the Word says every good gift comes from the Father, right? Well, look at all the rock stars. Aren't they blessed? They're blessed with torment. They have all the blessings that you can think of. Physical, material. But they're tormented. You know why? They've walked away. Some of them have walked away from the call of God in their life. And not fulfilling the call of God on their life. Now, they may not be affected right now, but in the long run, they're going to be affected later. Especially the day they stand before God and realize everything they've missed because of their own desires. Thinking they were God's desires. Amen? And verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law He meditates day and night. In other words, He is practicing the personality of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its what? Fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Hey, the word prosper just doesn't mean physically, financially. It's prospering in the Spirit. Your fruit should be multiplying. Your spiritual fruit should be multiplying. It's not about your pocket multiplying. Hello? Your pocket multiplying isn't always going to manifest spiritual children. You and I are to be birthing. Being fruitful means birthing spiritual children, letting them eat the fruit of your tree. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? Oh, hallelujah. So the first thing that is important is we stop hearing. There's a powerful song done by, I forgot the group, and it says that God throws the lifeline. He says, it's not that He's not silent. He says, we're not listening. He's not quiet. We're not being still and listening. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to realize all the things we missed of God because we wouldn't take counsel. Hallelujah. And you got to understand, if your heart is faded away from doing the will of God, but doing the will of God is abiding and manifesting His personality. Somebody got it? His will is His personality. If you're walking in His personality, you're manifesting His will. Amen? And as you begin to walk in His personality, and the fruits of the Spirit, as it talks about peace and joy and so forth, and as you begin to walk in this, you're going to see that the kingdom of God is manifested in you. God begins to release more things in your life, not as physical, but as spiritual. He reveals the secret things to those who are close to Him. He feeds them with a hidden manna. It's different. It's different. Because you're willing to manifest the personality of God. What was Jesus' personality? I mean, think about it. His purpose was to expand the kingdom of God, bring glory to the Father, and rescue as many souls as He could. And to impart His own personality in someone else. He discipled, didn't He? Amen? He was the expressed, not only image, which meant character or personality of God, but manifested it. Manifested it. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? Hold on. I'll get there. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, or in His what? Personality. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the what? Character of the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, that personality, by the wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you what? Holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If, there it is, choice again. Verse 23, if indeed you what? Continue in the faith. There's that faith. So the two things I told you that would disqualify God's personality is hearing and faith. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So two things that will disqualify the personality of God is no longer hearing and not walking in faith. The first thing is not hearing. Not hearing, isn't it? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Man, I've heard this before. Well, then start listening. Start doing. In verse 1, chapter 4, now the Spirit expressly says that what? In the latter times some will depart from the what? Faith. Why? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, of what they what? Heard. Hallelujah. Okay. Following the old personality, not willing to hear it, right? Praise God. 1 John chapter 4. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And the Spirit will tell you, walk ye in this way. And you hear the other voice say, no, this way. But I want to do my way. Oh, see, if we could allow God to show us the end result. You know, He likes to show you the end result in certain things. That's what gives you hope. Increases your faith. Usually the first thing He does is give you the end result. He doesn't tell you, which is Z. Then you have to go through A, B, C, D. John, 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 4. 4 and 6. Would you read it with me? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Let me tell you something. When you hear somebody start speaking as of the world, you know that's not Daddy's personality. And the world hears them. Right? They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, the spirit of truth is the personality of God. The spirit of truth is the personality of Satan, or of the world. Has everybody got it? Spirit of error. Yeah. Thank you. Spirit of error. What did I say? Spirit of what? Oh, the spirit of error. Excuse me. So we have the spirit of truth as the personality of God, and the spirit of error is the personality of Satan. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, verse 1 through 7. Let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Hallelujah. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, oh, hallelujah. Rest is a representation of also trust. Trust. Because when there's no trust, there ain't no rest. You know, but when there's trust, there's rest. Has everybody got it? Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now so many people were going to hear the word, but they're not going to appropriate it. That means they're not going to utilize it. That means that they are not mixing it with faith, are they? Hearing and faith. Remember we talked about that. Those are the two things, lack of hearing and lack of faith, will disqualify the personality of God in you and in me. So it's not, the word's not going to profit them, not mixing it with faith. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of His works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what?
Disobedience.
So if you ain't in rest, if you're not in trust, you're in disobedience. Again, He designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now remember, we said that the character of your spirit is your heart. If you're not willing to hear what God's saying, you are hardening your heart. You are shutting off the Holy Spirit. And by so doing that, you're going to welcome a familiar spirit that you're going to think is the Holy Spirit. And He's going to act just like the Holy Spirit. Until you repent to the Holy Spirit of hardening your heart. Because He is a person. Does everybody understand that? I've experienced that. And I can only share with you, it is terrible when you feel God's presence leave. It's terrible. When you sense that you've quenched the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the presence of God left him because he took on the sins of man. And God will not dwell with sin. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Not hearing produces rebellion. Rebellion heart is a representation of association of witchcraft. Rebellion is witchcraft. That means you're associating with sin. Sin is the presence of evil. It's not just an act. Sin is the presence of evil. Right? Remember the Bible says that the presence of sin was in the garden. Hello? Okay. Romans 10. And many will fall from the faith. Hearing. Praise God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. In verse 16, Romans 10 and verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see how they coordinate. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
You know, assumption doesn't come by hearing. Assumption. People walk out on an assumption when God didn't tell them to do it. When God tells you to do something, you're walking out in faith. It says it was accounted to Abraham as faith because God told him to come out of the country he was living in, come out of that nation, right? And he said, okay. He stepped out in what? Faith. He did not step out on assumption. That's why God puts offices in the body of Christ so that you can get counsel, get confirmation of what the Spirit is saying. Because once you quench the Spirit without repentance, the Spirit backs off. You'll associate with that familiar spirit and you'll think that your feelings, that your emotions, that your senses, and that all of these doors that are opening up are from God, and they will not be. That's called mixed anointing. We have a whole teaching on that too. So faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Not assumption. That's why Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. Amen? I mean, every one of us has fallen that assumption. And it lasted for a little bit, but didn't last forever. Right? Oh man, I thought that was God. That car looked great. It was a good deal. But then after you sit back and you review everything, you realize, that wasn't such a good deal. Even if it was given to you. You realize that the money later on, you could have bought a new car. Or whatever. Praise God. Isaiah 65. Or that woman, or that man. Or whatever. Isaiah 65. Praise you, Lord. But all things work to the good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, right? Well, who wants to stand in that all forever? I don't want to keep going, well, all things will work to the good. And constantly fall into that situation and using that scripture to get by on. All things will work to the good. They will work to the good. If you follow Him and do the right thing. Right? Because He's the God of rescue. He's a God of love. Even though you blow it, he's still there to rescue us, isn't he? But the thing is he wants us to learn by what we've made mistakes and stay in that position of following. Isaiah 65, and in verse 11 and 12. Would you read it with me? But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who furnish a drink offering for Benai. Therefore I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. In other words, you're going to set yourself up. We set ourselves up for the slaughter of Satan, for trouble, when we're not willing to listen, when we're not willing to hear and obey. Everybody got that? That's why we need to have counsel, don't we? That's why the Spirit's called the Spirit of Counsel. Amen? Hey, He'll speak to you in dreams. He'll speak to you in visions. He'll speak to you through an office. He'll speak to you through the Word. But you'll get confirmation. You know, just because somebody has a dream, doesn't mean it's time to do whatever. Just because you've been spoken to by the Word doesn't mean it's time to do it. Just because somebody says something to you doesn't mean it's time to do it. Because God's perfect will is always perfect timing. Amen? If you don't associate with that perfect timing, you'll associate with a familiar spirit. Amen? Trouble comes without hearing. And also what it does is produce pride. The Bible says pride comes before what? A fall. Everyone who falls is because pride. Pride says, I'm not listening. I know it. I'm okay. James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. He is not quiet. We are not listening. He sends the lifeline. Oh, yeah, good song. What's something of gray? And it's not jars of... Well, it's jars of clay, not jars of gray. What did I say to go? James 1? Praise God. Out of the Gray. That's the name of the group. Out of the Gray. Listening. James chapter 1 and verse 16, everybody there. Let's say it. Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every precious gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Kind of what? Personalities. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hello? Did you ever see that commercial with that mortgage or that? E.F. Hutton speaks? Don't listen. When the kingdom of God speaks, listen. You don't need to buy stock, you need a tithe. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to what? Speak. And slow to wrath. That means, rah, shoot back. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Come on, read it with me. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. Now, what's that natural face? The old personality. Or he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Has everybody got it? In verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and what?
Continues.
There it is, that word continues. Choice. In it. And is not a forgetful hearer, But a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Ooh, whoa. Hallelujah. So we want to be doers as well as hearers. Remember the mark? Hearer and doer. James chapter 2, why we're here. In verse 14. Everybody there? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? This is a powerful statement. Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Yow. That's why we worship, don't we? You might not want to feel like worshiping, but you do it by faith. Because why? He says so. Because he's always trying to get something to me and you. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Faith without works is dead. Mark 16. Glory to God. Mark 16. Hallelujah. Predestined personality. That's why the Bible says put on Christ. You're putting on his personality. That's why the word tells us, talking about that we would have the fullness of Christ, the fullness of his personality, that we may comprehend or understand the width and depth of his personality and who he is. And that personality that dwells in me and you. Mark 16:16, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. In 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. Hallelujah. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. Wow. Sounds like God's personality. He didn't take no garbage, did he? And they will speak with new tongues. That's another part of a personality. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's expressing the kingdom of God, isn't it? Well, God's not called me to do that. Well, then you're associating with the wrong personality. Has everybody got it? Psalm 17. And we'll close here. Praise God. Everybody all right? Psalm 17. And verse 13. Psalm 17 and verse 13. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Psalm 17, verse 13. Let's read it together. Praise be to God. Arise, O Lord, comfort him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Predestined personality. You are predestined to have the personality of Christ, his character. Check yourself. Examine yourself. If so, ask someone else to examine you. Hey man, how's my fruit? Don't be offended when they say they stink. Repent to God. Amen.
Amen.
And continue to ask that the personality of Christ be manifested. God's not done with us, is he? Amen. It's not done. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you have predestined your personality to take our old personality. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor, and we continue to welcome the Holy Spirit to manifest your personality in us and through us, that your kingdom would be known and seen, and that our fruits would bear right, that our fruits would bear good righteousness and bring glory to your name. Lord, we thank you and we repent, Lord, for allowing the darkness to disqualify your personality. We repent for grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. We repent to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you take not the Holy Spirit from us, but his presence would be upon us. The heart, the mind, and the will of Christ and the fullness of Christ would be manifested in us for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.